You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
It's the GH Report. We got Nina and Jack knocking boots. Check it out. Elena showing up in Valentine's Casadine hotel room. Not a great ending to that. Here you go, everybody. Welcome to the GH Report. Not my strongest ending on that one, but you know what? We're going to go with it. Welcome, everybody. We're going to be breaking down all the craziness that's been happening in General Hospital. Carla, were you here last week? Did you do the show or we did not?
I did not do the
show. No, so we've got a lot of stuff to catch up with you on, folks, there. I am Frank Moran.
And I'm Carla Renata. And next to me is...
I'm back, bitches. It's me, James Law Jr. James Law Jr.
There you go.
Five years at this network.
And the crowd goes...
Yes.
Wild.
Hi, guys.
Oh, hey. My goodness.
Hi, everybody.
Hey. Well, let me do a roll call, because you know that's how I do when I'm here. Mm-hmm. We got Ruwa, Joe Costanzo, Loretta Johnson, Annie Goen, Kelly Publicova.
Kelly.
Lisa Wagner. Who else we got in here? Susan Russo, Stuart Pierce. And that's it for right now. And Daisy Flower 40. What's up, y'all? Welcome back.
Hey.
As folks, as always, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and of course, Carla just named all the fine people in the chat, but join in if you're so inclined. And if you're watching after we stream live, feel free to comment down below. But in the meantime, let's just bask in the greatness that is James Lott Jr.
and let me shout out my boy Michael B. He just joined us.
Michael B.
Yeah.
5 years, James Lott Jr.
Yes, 5 years, Frank. And that means I've known you almost 5 years, because after I came here, I came looking for people at Craigslist, and I found you.
That's right, missed connections.
Et cetera. But yeah, I came from radio, which I still have my radio show, super organized show, James Lott Jr. I still have it. But I came from radio, came in, went into Dish and Days as a guest host, and thanks to Tony Moore and Mark J. Freeman, they let me come on, and I was like, TV hosting, what's that? And then I was like, you can't get me out of here. But it was actually the other house. You couldn't be out of the house. And then I came here. So 5 years. I did some statistics today.
Okay.
I've done 806 episodes of shows here.
Whoa.
Damn. That's impressive.
I looked at 806, and I created 6 shows here and co-created 3 of them.
Look at that.
Wow.
Man, and that's then he impressive. Just dropped this like a hot potato.
Sure did. I was like,
look,
tired.
He bounced like a rubber ball. He was like, bounce, I'm out.
You guys all know I do 10,000 different things, so that's what's going on there. But I come back in to see my folks.
I'm just playing. I know.
And I know you, Frank Moran.
And if you've been watching James Lott Jr. on all the soap block here today, you see he's been passing around these super sweet 5-year anniversary gingerbread cookies with a nice, tasteful AfterBuzz level icing on there.
And they're gingerbread, and they're from Cookies Hell Yeah. That's her name. It's Meredith from Culver City. And she's all over town, and these cookies are homemade.
Hell yeah.
All right. I love when he does that, Bill. It makes me so happy.
Me too. Now, woman of color, USC graduate. She's working it out.
All right.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, I know we ended up taking off last week, and that was due to me having a last-minute family emergency. So thank you.
But yes, I couldn't, in the spirit of that, I couldn't just sit here by myself and act like nothing was wrong. I just couldn't do it. So
that's
I had to wait
good.
Until my brother came back.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
So that means we've got 2 weeks to dive into. Plus, it's been a while since we've had a chance.
Yes.
James Lott Jr. called in one time when Carla was out.
I did.
So yes,
we did the whole show that way.
So yes, it was delightful. But now we get to just get
in
more
in depth.
Yes, we get the full effect. So why don't we dive into Valentine finally finding out the reveal of his true identity.
Child, him being a Spencer, I'm like, what? Really, though? I don't know how I feel about that.
I can tell you how I feel about that. No. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I'm sorry. I'm just like, I'm all for twist, plot twists and stuff, but I'm like, a Spencer?
But wait, and then it was all about how he came to... How he came to the conclusion by talking to the ghost of Helena. I'm like, oh, dude, really? No. Is that what we gonna do? I was like, no.
Yeah.
You know, I still don't... I feel like, I mean, Constance Tower looks great.
Oh, yeah. Sure. We love her.
I love her.
I don't know. I feel like the show did wrong by killing her off.
You got it.
Like, she needs... I want... If they keep bringing her back, she want her around.
They can always bring people back to life.
That's true.
That is true. And I'm surprised they
haven't. They bring people back to life all the time. Look, maybe her showing up as a ghost is a precursor to her coming back for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You never know.
I would hope so, because I'd rather have her alive and in the mix, especially now that Nicholas is back, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather...
Ooh, honey, and Laura's the mayor. Ooh, it would just be so juicy and titillating.
Oh, yeah. Completely.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I would be living for all of that.
Because I don't feel like we ever got the resolution to Nicholas poisoning Helena.
No.
And that nothing ever really came of that. It was like, oh yeah, I poisoned her, now she's dead.
Yeah.
So legit.
Sherry R. is like, they didn't confirm it. No, they didn't confirm it, Diva, but he did say, he did go through this whole convoluted explanation with the ghost of Helena to figure out that she had slept with Luke, which was, he was the result of that union. So, yeah, he is Spencer.
And I guess, at first I was looking at ages and stuff, but I forget that Anthony Geary, who plays Luke, is a lot older. He just looks good for his age. But I was like, okay, James Patrick Stewart, okay, that could work. I was like, I was looking at the age thing for a minute. Because I met James Patrick Stewart, actually, 2 weeks ago, and he's a really good-looking person. But
yeah,
I think he's probably around my age, probably, so I guess that could work.
Yeah, he's skinny. He needs a sandwich. But
anyway. I'm guessing that hookup would have happened during one of like Luke's, when he was his dark times. That when he was
because he had many dark times and many adventures that didn't include Laura, where he was off the grid. We didn't know where he was, and then he would return and say that he was doing something unsavory with Helena, but they would never go into detail about what it was. 3/4 of the time, they wouldn't go into detail about what it was. So that ridiculous scenario could actually be true.
I just wish they didn't do that, because the whole thing was that Helena was attracted to Luke, but they never did anything.
Yeah.
It was always like flirtation. She
as
wanted
far
to
as
kill
we know.
Him. Right, but I always kind of liked that was out there. We didn't. Nothing was confirmed. I kind of liked it. It was just kind of like, yeah, maybe, maybe not. I don't like that's confirmed.
Well, we'll find out, because either Anthony Geary going to show his face or Constance going to show their face. They're going to have to bring one of them back. They can't just keep having conversations around the two people, and the two people are still alive to kind of like come on the show and squash that. So let's hope we get one of those surprises or little treats sooner than later.
Well, it was great to get Jane Elliott back.
Oh my God, I love her.
I love her so much.
And her gray hair was beautiful. Bob was beautiful. Yes.
She is pure comedy. What I really love is the girl that's playing Brooklyn acts just like her.
She does.
That was really good casting on their part. Because when she calls her granny, and the look on Jane Elliott's face every time Brooklyn says granny just makes me laugh out loud. She looks like she just wants to pull the word granny out of her mouth.
Yeah, that's right.
It's so funny. Mm-hmm. It makes me laugh. I love it.
I agree.
And it was it's frustrating when you bring in somebody, especially of soap royalty. And you want to feel like they have some purpose to be there, not just to kind of do a drive-by. Like, oh, yeah, it was here. Remember, I used to be on the show. Cool. Thanks, everybody. And now I'm gone. And I'm kind of mixed opinions about Jane Elliott's visit. Because, one, it was great to see her. Mm-hmm. And she got to do the Christmas Carol one-off there as well, which I hate those episodes.
I know you
do. Crazy. I can't stand those episodes.
Whatever.
So I'm glad that it was a very scaled-down
version. It was a very scaled-down version, yes.
So I appreciated that. But it was all, she's like, oh, I'm going to set up. There's somebody trying to get ELQ, and now I'm gone. And I was like,
it was a soft close, as we say in the business sometimes, in the restaurant business. It was a soft close. Like, why didn't she leave out with a bang, or like stay a little? I know it's the actress herself. She's working. She's retired, basically, I think. So she's not working full time. But you're right. It was kind of like like she went upstairs and never came back down.
That's true.
Like, is it?
Okay, sidebar. So they're reading me, and they're saying that I'm confused. So I want y'all to clarify this. Because, you know, I don't want to disseminate bad information, because this is listened to all over the world, and I don't want people to be confused, because I'm confused, allegedly. They're saying that they were talking about Charlotte being Helena, Luke's bloodline, and Valentine's father is unknown. Is that what y'all got out of that?
I would think it's more that.
Okay.
It is that.
So then, clearly, I am confused.
Yeah. Well, I mean, kind of a little bit. Yeah, there's always more Spencer in her.
Okay, well then I'm the only one that read that wrong. My bad. Thanks, y'all.
I mean, because it does beg the question of like, then who is the father,
right?
And whether we're ever going to know that,
yeah,
or not.
That's,
I mean,
true.
I guess it's up for the show to decide.
Yeah, which you never know what they're going to do there. You can't always count on the show.
But this is what was comical about it. How he then went all over town to tell everybody that he wasn't a Cassadine.
Right.
Yeah.
Like what was the purpose of that?
Well,
what
I feel
was
like,
the purpose of that?
I feel like the Nina one was like, you know, we were in love. This is a terrible thing. She could be there to comfort me. Maybe that's great. Then she overhears her saying like, oh, I made up with Jax. And he goes into a rage.
And then I thought he was, okay, so
that
when they
dream,
did the, right, when they did the dream, I thought, ooh, they gonna kill him off like that? Like, that's so lame. And then I realized very quickly that it was, you know, a daydream or whatever it was. I'm like, because at first I was like, really? You just going to gun him down in front of his daughter? Like, what kind of mess is that?
Right.
Just foul on all kinds of levels. Like, what you doing? Yeah. The bullet could have ricocheted and hit
her.
Right,
exactly. Everything.
And so when they revealed that it wasn't, I was like, ooh, that was a relief. Because I was feeling some kind of way about that.
The moment I realized, like, this is going to be a dream is that when Dustin is able to call 911. I feel like Valentin is not that dumb. He's going to eliminate everybody that was a potential witness. Because otherwise, I mean, Valentin's been great about always having a way out of any problem that he gets into.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, well, this has got to be a dream because, you know.
Got to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm almost tired of these kind of dream things. I know it's a plot device to kind of give us what we want, kind of, but then not really give us what we want. I mean, it's a weird thing.
Like, I kind of love them every once in a while. Like, I don't want it to be a regular thing. But I love them every once in a while. And then I was also confused about Alexis consoling him, because she usually goes in on Valentin all the time, and now all of a sudden she's concerned about his well-being. I'm like, get the hell out of here. That was just a hot-buttered mess.
True, but if you saw somebody about to try to launch himself off a roof of
a
building...
But that's the thing. He wasn't. He literally was just standing there.
No, because he was... He was revving like this. He was going like that. He was ready just to go.
You got to do it. You got to launch.
What was he doing, Frank? He was revving up.
Podcast listeners, watch the YouTube video.
There you go. Revving up. I'm going to go over to the special court balcony.
You got to do it.
Right. I feel like, you know, she has some compassion for somebody that she really doesn't like that much.
Well, and then speaking of Alexis, I'm not going to be able to handle her continuously bumping into Neil and having this awkward thing.
Yeah.
We love each other, but we can't talk like the same Sam and Jason. I'm like, I can't.
I'll ask both of you. Which would you rather watch in real time? The 2 years between Alexis and Neil or the 2 years between Sam and Jason?
Ooh.
I'd rather lay down on my lawn and have the lawnmower run me over. That's what I'd rather have happen. Because either one, to me, I'm like... Good night.
Oh.
That's my answer, Frank.
I love it.
I don't know how I feel about that. I don't want to see Neil pining over Alexis, but you know how I feel about Sam and Jason. Those are my boos.
Yeah.
So,
ugh.
You know.
But see, here's the thing. The guy who plays Neil is a great addition to the show, and I liked where they were going. We don't need this obstacle.
But then they messed it up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why did y'all mess it up? But what they not messing up is Jax and Nina.
Okay, they are.
Yeah.
Ooh, honey. I was like, ooh, they finally got together. Thank you, Lord. But what I was not appreciating was them having a conversation about them hooking up.
I know.
Like, why y'all got to have a conversation about it? And then go to the bedroom like teenagers, acting like you don't know what to do when you go to a bedroom at a man's house that you like. Like, really? We going to play? Really? Is that what we going to do right now? He got a fur throw on the bed, and you going to act like, ooh, your bedroom. For real though, I can't.
I just saw the fur throw. I was like, okay, Jack.
Fur throw and a fireplace.
Even I don't have one of those. I'm like, in my bed.
But the fur throw and the fireplace, and then you're going to act like you don't know what time it is. Girl, get out of here with that.
But I mean, I guess you could go back to Nina's, you know, time in the coma.
Yeah, she's naive a little bit.
She's really only been with Franco and with Valentin.
Yeah, that's it.
Look. That diva know how to knock boots. And when you go up to a bedroom and you see a fur throw and a fireplace, you know what time it is. Like, come on now.
Booty time.
Yeah, it's time. The living's easy.
Get it on. The chat room, they don't like Nina and Jax together. They're like,
they
no,
don't?
Sir,
really?
No, ma'am.
Wow.
They're not having it. They're not having
who do you
it.
Want them, who do you want them with?
They're not having it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And they're in Cherie, she makes fun of me because I never pronounce her name.
Is your
right.
name Cherie, girl?
Is it Cherie or is it Cherie? Just phonetically put it out for me because she said, I like the way you pronounce my name, LOL. So I'm like, I must be saying it wrong. But Insti Who, tell me how phonetically say your name. But she's like, I think Alexis and Neil are done.
You know, I agree. I don't know why they threw this obstacle in.
Yeah.
Unless they wanted to run a parallel of Alexis and Sam. Which, I mean, okay, but
There's why? There's no rooting value for Alexis and Neil because they haven't been together that long or been together that much.
Yeah.
At least Jason and Sam, what you feel about them, they have been through a lot. So there is some rooting value for them. But for Neil and Alexis, they're just kind of getting, they're just getting started. From patient to, you know, and therapist to relationship. And they cut it off.
And what I liked about with Neil is that at the beginning when he first came out, he was getting involved in a lot of different storylines. Yeah, yeah. And I feel since then, it's really just drawn back, and now it's just this thing with him
maybe
and Alexis.
Maybe he got another gig. You know how they do.
That's true, too.
He might have in real life, maybe he has another gig, and they, like, slowly trying to, like, you know, eke him out.
Because I feel like he's a character that never realized any sort of potential.
I agree. I agree.
I like him. But who has reached some potential is Mr. Dustin, honey. Sexy Dusty.
You know, I mean, it's interesting the slow roll they've done with him. Mm-hmm, for sure. They've really slow rolled him.
I like how they developed his character, don't you?
Yeah, there are times like when he was going to join the softball team and he's acting like a big lunkhead. I was like, what's this guy's deal? But they seemed to like calm that part of it.
Yes.
And just made him more of a, like, all right. Kind
for
of
a minute, I was beginning to think that maybe he was part of the WSB when he was like kicking that dude's butt that was all over.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
I thought, is he a spy? Like, is he a spy and we don't know he's a spy? Because he had skills in the fight scene. I'm like, oh, okay. But no, he was a now they're like, so I went from thinking he was a spy to now they've revealed that he actually was a musician and not a good one. I'm like, okay, I don't know how I feel about
I know. But then the fact that he also has a past with
Brooklyn.
Why we gotta do that? It's so obvious. Okay, so now Lulu and there's nothing to hate each other. I mean, I just like, I don't.
But how about this? He got more chemistry with that doll that plays Brooklyn than he do with that doll that plays Lulu.
Hello.
So there's that. Because whenever they're on
let
screen,
me sip my tea.
Because whenever they're on screen together, it's like pure electricity coming through the TV rays. I'm like, okay, all right, y'all.
And they both are from One Life to Live, so that kind of makes
sense.
I'm
just saying.
Yes. Well, enough for you ABC watchers. Yes, I agree with you. The problem with the character of Lulu is the way they're writing her. Emmy Rodden can act, so I know that and all that kind of stuff. I've seen her in things that she's really wonderful in. But in just it's a shady Sunday part. But there's just the role they've written, she's so unspencer-like to me. It bugs the S out of me every week when she's on. I'm like, she's so unlikable to me, her character.
I thought they were gonna get rid of her when
you killed Nathan.
No,
you should have.
I thought they were gonna get rid of her when Dante left.
Yeah,
because there was weeks and weeks and weeks on end of her complaining about Dante leaving her and crying and whining, and I'm like, oh my god, enough, I cannot. And then they brought in Dustin, and I thought, okay, well, they're going to redeem her. And then even that was, like, that whole situation never really kind of took off for me. You know what I mean? Like, it started, and it was cute, but then it kind of just kind of stilted until Brooklyn came in. And then when they brought Brooklyn in, then their relationship kind of heated up because her jealousy heated up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm just like, Shut up,
James. But James, I agree with you. Because the one thing that, and we talked about this last time you were on, is that we love what they've done with Laura since she's come back this time around.
Yes,
they make her very, very smart, very cunning. She's you know, she's thinking, she can see the big picture and moves that people are making.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when you've got Luke Spencer and you've got Laura Spencer, and then you've got Lulu, and she is showing none of the shrewdness that either of her parents possess, and it gets frustrating.
Yes, I agree with that completely. And as I said, I didn't do it the way they're writing her. I think that she can do the acting and can do it. It's the way they're writing her is bugging the S out of me.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, let's talk about... let's talk about... I love whenever they bring Epiphany in, because Epiphany just goes balls to the walls every time she's on the show.
Sonya Eddy, my
but
girl.
I love how they had the two sisters, and those are two strong sisters, too. They was like... Epiphany's like, can I help you? She's like, and what are you doing in my hospital on my turf? And then homegirl, I love how the parole officer was like she was in church, like, okay, I'm out now. She put that finger and I was like, okay, did you see how she got up in Sam's face? Like, if I had been Sam and homegirl got up in the side of my face like that, I just would have been like this.
Yes.
Like, why did you have to get in the side of her face and go, I'll see you soon?
Yes,
like, why do we have to do that?
But I also want to know, like, was this parole officer, like, I don't know what floor Sam was on.
Yeah.
GH, but was she just doing laps?
Yeah, I was like, every single floor.
Right. That's what I'm like. where did this thing come from? Like, she serendipitously just rolled around the corner. Miss McCall. I'm like, and where the hell did you come from?
Yeah.
Are you just lurking around
corners? Because there's at least 10 floors in a hospital. There's a 10th floor in a hospital. There's at least 10 floors.
Yeah.
So it's like, that was pure comedy to me. I hollered. And then I hollered even more when they went in the room. When Dave got ready to go into the examining room and Jason locked the door, and Epiphany was like, look, you need to unlock this door. Like, I know you in there. Don't. Why are you playing?
But also, it's like, for me, it's like, Sam, like, you're a private eye. You're supposed to be quick on your feet. The fact that she couldn't say, oh, I was meeting with Finn, which is true.
Right, where's Russ?
And we were talking about something. She doesn't need to meet Jason's name. Finn could back up that, oh, yeah, I was talking with her. I don't know why she's like, I was just with my doctor.
That was kind of out of character for Sam. Right, I agree.
Let's dive into this J-Sam thing, because this storyline stinks.
Yes, I agree.
I'm not a huge fan of J-Sam at all. Yep. I don't care if they get together at all. But, in fact, I hope that they don't.
Whatever,
but
Frank.
It is this, the fact that Sam is being so stupid about this whole thing. She was mopey that she was in prison. And then she goes, I got to get back to the kids. And now she's back with the kids. She's like, let's hook up, Jason. We got to be together. Like, why? The fact that nobody can make Sam realize, like, you are being an idiot right now.
They're making her stupid. And I hate when they do that to her. And I've said this before when we've had these discussions. Sam McCall is a smart cookie. She's a private eye. She's a grifter. She's a con girl. Why are you giving her dumbass dialogue?
I
don't understand. And they keep flipping back and forth. Like, some weeks she'll be like whip smart, and then other weeks she'll be like what you said. And I'm like, you got, when you have OG characters like that, you got to be consistent with them. You can't have them flipping and flopping and wishing and washing. The audience does not like that. I don't like it. I really don't.
Well, especially when the story, I'm sorry, James, when the storyline started with her getting back into trying to run a con on a con.
Yes.
Right, exactly. That was getting her back to the old Sam, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then after they killed off Shiloh, then she went back into this, no. She went into this, like, whiny Sam. And I'm like, that whiny Sam, stupid Sam, does not work for me on any level.
James, do you want to see them back together?
You know, actually, I mean, between you guys, I don't have anything for or against them, to be quite honest. But I'm sorry, I saw chemistry between Finn and Sam. I'm sorry. I know in the past they played characters that were together because they on Port Charles and whatever.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.com. FM to get started.
But I saw more chemistry, and I saw them talking about this whole Peter situation. I was just like, these two look so good together. I mean, they see as a natural ease when they're talking. You know, she's trying to get information from out of him, and he was trying to kind of give her information. I'd rather watch them, if anything, than you know, I like him with Anna and all that. But I'm just like, she was more exciting because I agree with Carla. Where's the smart Sam? Where's the fearless Sam? Where's the where's the street smart Sam? Like, why so mealy mouthed and just like yang, 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 all the time?
I'm having that's just it annoys me to the nth degree. It really does annoy me to the nth degree. So that's how I feel about that.
But the thing that bothered me about that Finn and Sam conversation is that I felt like Sam was. That chemistry, I don't know if I didn't read it for myself, because I felt like Sam was just running him because she wants information that she knows that he has that's going to help her get
but
out
see,
of
the jam. He wanted to tell, too. He wanted to tell somebody.
He wanted to tell her.
He was conflicted.
And that whole situation got convoluted, too, and then it ended up with them leaving the house. And she was like, do you understand? He was like, yeah, I understand. him leaving that house, him leaving that room with her, going, yeah, I understand, reminded me of the time that my mother left my daddy. Right. And my mother at the breakfast table, my dad was like, you gonna leave me, aren't you? She's like, nope. Just like that. And he went to work and we were gone.
Okay.
She hopped in that car, honey, and she put the pedal to the metal, and we went from Atlanta to St. Louis, and he was not having it. But when I saw that, I immediately thought about that, and I was watching with my mother. I said, hey, Ma, that remind you of anything? And she just laughed. I'm like, whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I say all that to say that I don't like how I hate, and that's another wishy-washy thing, too. I hate that they're being wishy-washy with the whole Anna Finn thing, too. You know, when she was gone for, like, months and months and months on end, they had him pining away for her, made it seem like he was going to wait it out for her, like he was not going to roll over on her no matter what. And I find it very interesting that the one thing that's going to make him roll over on her is Peter, after he's tolerated Peter for months. And so I'm guessing the only reason that's making him not tolerate Peter is the fact now that he has Violet, and now as a dad, you know, his ideology on all of that was fine as long as it was just him he was worried about. Now he's got Violet to worry about.
I think, didn't he say that kind of? He was like, just in the argument, he was kind of saying, I have a daughter now.
He did say that as he was leaving.
Yeah, so I agree with that. I think that's the change of heart. It's kind of like now you got, and you know, I have children. And it was like, things do change. Since you have children, things do change. Your outlook just changed.
That's right. I mean, and he became sort of basically an insta-dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, boom, all right, now all of a sudden I've got all this. I mean, that is one thing, like, with storylines, especially on soaps, is that you're kind of hamstrung by your actor's availability. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you have Finola Hughes, or even, as you were talking about, Anthony Geary, gone for long stretches. Mm-hmm. That's kind of built into their contracts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so you've got to come up with excuses for them to be gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I feel like, for better or for worse, can be a plus or a minus to a storyline depending on when it's going.
That's true.
I agree. I definitely agree.
But would you rather have them have a recast for that time that they're gone?
No.
Or you'd rather just write them out?
I wouldn't want them recast, and I wouldn't want them necessarily written out, but I wouldn't want them, like when Anna was gone, they kept having at least once a week or every other day having him on the phone with her, which was kind of annoying. It's like, okay, we know she's gone, just bring her back when you're gonna bring her back. Like, the audience that watches General Hospital that's loyal, they're not gonna forget about Anna. They're just not. So it doesn't matter that we're not talking about her. It doesn't matter that we don't see her. Just bring her back when you bring her back. But just don't create, like, stupid stuff to keep her name in the loop, because we know who she is and we love her. Like, Anna Devane is part of the General Hospital fabric. You know what I mean?
Let's see.
All right, lay down, James. Let you
know. Well, I mean,
I'm going to sip some tea.
Sip some tea, girl. Sip some tea, girl. No, That's a great question. And there's been times when they have had recasts on shows that did work. Like, say, someone like they had to pitch. Well, for example, my friend Jen DeLee, years ago, pitched in for Maxie. Mm-hmm. She had a health issue. She came in really quick and did a great job, actually. And then when Maxie went, Christian Storms came back, she left. So it does work sometimes. And when Nick Sabeel came on as Nick Nicholas, that did work. Tyler Christopher had to leave, but it did work. So sometimes it does work. But I count with her also. Sometimes it's good just like to have them off. Focus on other. If you have large casts, focus on some other people. You know, focus on other cast members. Give them some story. Give those actors some work. And then when they're ready to come back, then you bring them back in. And you integrate them back in. So I kind of think maybe both, I guess. Depends.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because sometimes you wonder, like, oh, please don't drag out the storyline longer than it needs to be.
Yeah.
And when it just turns out that they're going to be gone for, you know, 4 to 5
Peter.
Months, like, oh, God, this story is going to be dragged
out.
Yeah,
like
now.
When it's 4 or 5 months, it's like, y'all, come on, really now?
Peter.
Can't. Yeah.
Stop it.
I'm sorry for that storyline.
All right, Peter. Let's dive in, James Lightyear.
Oh.
Sing the praises of one Peter August.
And I am Vaughn. Thanks, you guys. Thanks for having me. Bye.
We got to talk about Brad and them, too.
Oh, yeah. I'll just be brief. People know me. You know, I'm not a fan of the character of Peter. Never have been. I think I don't like this revisionist history. And even my beautiful girl, Brooklyn Ray Sills, is back. I love her as Emma. She looks so beautiful, so grown up.
I know, she does.
Yes, so grown up. So
but her
grown
little
up.
Face is exactly the
I
same.
I know, it's so cute.
Okay, I'm sorry, I stopped.
No, I love it. I love you, Brooklyn. I love you, Brooklyn. That's my friend, so I love her. She's great. And her scene with Peter was just so forced to me. I just oh! He does not fit in anywhere. He has no chemistry with Maxie. He has no chemistry with Anna. He has no chemistry. I want, I've almost said Frisco, wrong person. I want Tristan Rogers' character, let's say, Robert Scorpio, to take him down. I want him gone.
I love that Robert is so doggedly determined to get him, which is great. But I agree with you, that scene with Emma, it seemed him Uncle showing Petey. Like genuine human emotion always seems awkward to me.
Yes.
I'm like, oh,
well,
no.
I have to agree to disagree. I like that scene with Emma and Peter. I actually thought it was nice that Emma was Emma was the one person that was showing him any unbiased affection, and it was kind of cute, but, you know.
Him playing with Violet, I found more watchable than, like, him being like Thanos and, like, like that, a simple child's
that
game.
That was actually kind of cute.
Trying to see that interaction with Emma, I was like, can I get a real-life hug now?
Yeah, I know. You're my Uncle Peter. I'm like, good night.
You're real-life Uncle Peter.
Yeah, I'm like, good night. But the little girl who plays Violet is adorable. She is adorable.
With her little lisp. Isn't she the cutest thing ever? Oh my god, she is. You just want to eat her.
I do.
So
I do. And I see why people. I see why some animals eat their young because they're so cute. She's delicious.
But you're
delicious. She's delicious.
Like
he's so
like the wolf from Little Red Riding.
Exactly. Like delicious.
I don't mind Peter August. I mean, I don't know if I can necessarily see the storyline with him and Maxie at all. But I don't know if like the character in and of itself. You know, I mean, I feel like we've got this weird thing with Anna. We've got this backdoor that it's really going to be her sister that's the real mother. And I don't know why they haven't pulled the trigger on that.
Right.
Because it seemed like they were really poised up for that. And that was the whole reason that she took off for the summer. And then we never really resolved that. So
no, they didn't.
So I don't know if they're saving that till he gets caught. And then it's like, oh, and guess what? You really never want Anna's daughter to begin with.
Yes.
I'm like, you were Alex's. I'm like, when's that shoe going to drop?
Yeah.
But I don't know if I want to see him written out of the show. I mean,
I do.
I don't want to see him written out. I think there's potential for him to do something. I'm not quite sure what it is, though.
What if he was on a Valentine type of role? Where, I mean, you kind of root for him, but he's also, because you need some bad guys you can't write off. You want bad guys around town to kind of stir up.
Valentine be a bad guy.
Yeah. Who else would you have, though?
There's nobody left right now except for Valentine and Peter, right?
Well, I guess Sonny's considered. Well, I guess he's a good guy. I guess
Sonny kind of straddles the line.
Yeah, that's the line. But I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not a fan of Peter. I'm not a fan.
Speaking of other potential team ups, Michael E. Knight playing playing our lawyer.
I kind of love him.
I love him.
I love him. I mean, I know they're sending him out right now to try to track down more Quartermain stock.
Yes.
But I'm hoping that he sticks around and they give him actually a storyline of his own.
I want them to give him a contract because he's freaking crushing it.
Yes.
He's been crushing it since the minute his face showed up on the screen. He's really good. He always has been, even when he was on AMC. So I'm just
like, I want him and Alexis together.
That could be interesting. All right.
I'll
be down with that. There. Nosa said that. I'm putting it out there. Though they're age appropriate. And both fantastic actors who can do comedy and drama.
Yeah.
Emmy winners.
All right. I am down with that.
That southern accent, everything. I love the southern draw. I love his white hair. I love all about Michael E. Knight. I'm all in.
Yeah, he's a silver fox for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I like how I thought they did a really good job of having him being involved in so many things for Valentine. Finding out that Valentine's really behind Nell, really behind this whole thing with Brooklyn.
Yes.
I was like, all right, nicely done with that.
But I love when he told Valentine, he said, and from now on, I'm going to have cash up front.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's right. I was like, that's right. I love that he doesn't back down. And when he talks to Nell, too, he's just like, okay, I'm your lawyer and all, but you know.
I'm not your patsy.
Exactly.
Let's get this straight.
Exactly.
You're paying me. I'm not paying you.
Okay, exactly.
All right, so the one thing that's bugging me about the Nell storyline, and then that'll lead us into talking about Brad and Lucas and all this stuff as well, is that Nell, they have an injunction for her to be able to vote those shares of the Quartermain stock. But how does she think she could actually sell those? She does not.
That's what I was thinking.
Why is anybody saying you can sell these?
That's what I was thinking. Like when she shows up at Valentine's room and he's like, I'm ready to negotiate. Negotiate what? Homegirl ain't got no shares. She legally has no right to anything Quartermain. And as we're going to find out, she really ain't going to have no right to it because we know what's going to throw down. So I'm like, whatever.
But I feel like Martin knows that. So why is he telling Valentine that? Why is Valentine saying, I'll make her a huge offer?
Because he's trying to make that money. He's trying to get that paper. He not going to tell Valentine because that means he ain't going to get paid.
Because you don't want Valentine as an enemy. You don't want Valentine as an enemy.
No,
so you
but I'm
tell
telling you, I'm telling you, he's not telling him because he's trying to get that paper. He's trying to get paid. He knows if he tells Valentine that he will cut him off monetarily. And homeboy trying to hang around in Port Charles and get paid by as many people as possible.
But if you told him, if you didn't tell him and he finds out, he's going to, like, I'll just kill you now because
he
lied
won't
to
kill
me.
Him because he wouldn't know that. He wouldn't know that he lied. Would he necessarily? Like, it would take him a minute to figure that out.
Like, how did you not know this, Martin? Why didn't you tell me?
Martin would be like, yo.
Okay,
I'm not an investigative reporter. Nope. I'm just a lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the fact that nobody's mentioned that, it bugs the heck out of me in this. Where, like, oh, God. When, like, Nell's telling Michael, like, I might have to entertain another offer. It's like, why is Michael saying, you can't?
But Nell's getting on my nerves now, because everywhere she go, people just slamming the door in her face. I love how Michael, she was demanding that she get another room at the Quarterly Mansion. And Michael's like, okay, you know what? I'll have somebody get your bags and sit them on the side of the road. Yeah. And she was like, oh, I'll just go stay with Brad. Yeah, it's going to be a little crowded. Lucas just woke up.
Okay, exactly.
All right, so James, I saw a promo scroll.
Yes, I did.
They're about finally, you know, this week.
It's finally coming out.
I saw that.
How excited are the two of you that this is finally happening?
It's about time. It's gone on long enough. You've milked every angle you can now at this point. Now Lucas is awake. Nell's in town. It all needs to come out.
But is it going to come out before they bounce to Portland is the question.
I think so. Because you want them there for the huge radioactive fallout.
Yes.
For everybody.
I mean, it's going to affect so many people.
It's going to affect everybody. Willow.
Oh, my God. Again. I know.
And then Chase is going to be trying to pick up the broken pieces of that.
Sonny and Carly
are going to be livid that now that they're going to have Nell as like a not a daughter-in-law, but a baby mama forever. Mm-hmm. Like, that's going to be a whole thing. You know, Joss is going to feel some kind of way about mm-hmm. that, because Joss is the one who kind of infiltrated Nell into all of that mess in the first place. Like, it's just going to be a ticking time bomb.
It's going to be a mess.
But I assume Nell goes back to jail when the truth is revealed, because she lied about...
Yeah, she going back to jail and Brad going with her.
That's what you guys think.
You don't think? I mean, that's a violation of your probation. You lied about your baby being alive?
I don't think so. They're going to figure out a way. Keep them out. They can't put them in jail again.
She's not a Quartermain, so she ain't got no money. So what's she going to do?
Yeah,
where's she going to stay?
It's very interesting.
Is she going to be running Dawn a Day? Like, what's happening?
Dawn a Day. So glad that line's over.
Was worried, though, that they were going to drag the Lucas amnesia out. I was like, he's not going to remember much. But when he first woke up and they immediately had the flash, I'm like, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Let's keep moving on this story.
Keep it moving. Yeah, no, I'm very excited. I think it was a coolly crafted storyline to begin with. I actually don't mind the storyline very much. I thought it was pretty well done. But I think it's time. I think it's time for it to come out and have the fallout with everybody. Oh, it's gonna be so good.
All right, what do you think happens? Especially, Lucas, we know, is going to be devastated, of course.
Well, yes.
Willow's devastated. Michael, elated.
Yes.
I think Willow's going to have a nervous breakdown. Because she's gotten so close to Wiley, thinking that it's Wiley, thinking that it's her kid.
Willow and
Brad
Michael.
And Lucas have adopted. She's gonna lose her.
Willow and Michael. That's what's
really
gonna happen.
Mm-hmm. You think? Are you a fan of Sasha?
Oh, you know what? Because they always did have chemistry.
Yes,
remember,
they
we
did.
Talked about that.
Mm-hmm. They have chemistry.
Do you like Sasha?
I love Sasha.
He can't be kicking Sasha to the curb.
I love Sasha, but I think something's gonna be a bond in there somewhere, and it's gonna bring them together a little bit. It's gonna cause some problems. No, I like Sasha, but it's gonna cause some problems.
What are they gonna do with Sasha?
There's other men on the canvas.
No, I mean,
Chase. And all that. There's other men on the canvas that could move around to you.
I'm not seeing Sasha and Chase, are you?
I'm not. You know what? As much as I've grown to enjoy Chase and his portrayal, him losing the stubble and just having the Luke Perry burns,
yes.
not a good look.
Pork chops.
But it is, because I feel like Michael and Sasha and Willow and Chase are two pretty functional relationships. Mm-hmm. So you can only have that go on for so long before you've got to start stirring the pot.
As I said, I have a feeling this whole baby thing is going to bring Willow and Michael closer together. They met in grieving meetings, and then she got close to Wiley.
There was always a little chemistry there. Mm-hmm. Always a little chemistry mm-hmm. there, yeah.
So I guess the big thing is, what happens to Brad?
Lucas might kill him. Somebody's going to kill him.
Do you think it is death knell for Brad?
Well, see.
Somebody's going to take him.
We also got Julian. We can't forget Julian. Julian knew all about this, too. So it's Julian and Brad. What's going to happen to Julian also?
Oh, Julian will just leave town, but somebody's going to kill Brad. Somebody's going to kill Brad's ass. They're going to be like, yeah, you got to go.
It's going to be very interesting to see, because both of them are part of this cover-up. And then you got Liesl, who kind of knew what was going on too a little bit, had an idea, but she was around. It was, she delivered a baby, so it's like this whole.
It really goes.
I love umbrella stories. It's one thing I love umbrella stories, and this really does umbrella out and out and out and out. So the fallout will be the interesting part of seeing what happens to every single person that's involved.
I'm curious, like somebody with Liesl, which is true, he's part of that. Do you hold her at all to blame for anything?
No.
Liesl, no.
She gave birth to, she helped give birth, the baby came out and she was
she
there.
Helped, right, she helped bring, Wiley is here because of Liesl, so there's that. But and so I'm not mad at her for that.
But she wasn't that involved anyway.
And she was just doing what she always does. You know, she was just lying and covering her own behind to do. That particular character doesn't know any other way to exist. Like that's just her MO. She just lies to survive.
Yeah.
Does Sonny look past the anger of what Brad did? Michael's got his grandson.
Sonny Corinthos we're talking about. Child, it's going to be off and cracking.
It is.
He's been so consumed with his dad that he ain't had time to pay attention to Wiley and what's going on with that shenanigan part of the world. But when it is revealed that that's been his grandson under his nose the whole time, ooh, child.
It's going to be, it's going to be
It's going to be fireworks.
It is.
James Lund Jr., as we get ready to wrap here, real quick, I want to hear your thoughts. As resident GH historian, we're getting ready for another gang war.
Yes.
Are you excited? Has it been long enough that it seems fresh?
Never fan of the mob. Never fan of the mob. Never fan of the mob. Why bring it back?
Okay. All right. From James Loud's mouth to
your
GH writer's ears. Cut this gang war, folks.
Cut it.
Change it.
Cut it.
Folks, let's give it up for James Lott Jr., without who the show would not exist, everybody.
That's true.
That's right.
My Nancy Pelosi club.
And I don't know.
5 years strong, everybody. 5 years!
5 years, you guys. Thank you, everybody, for all the fans in here. Thank you so much. You guys are always so wonderful.
James Lott Jr., it's always a delight when you
thank
come
you.
On the show. I mean, this is your show.
Hey, I did start the show, yes.
There you go.
But it's your show. You do it every week, so you continue it, so it's good.
Oh, I'm just picking the
baton.
Yes, that's it. Folks, thanks for joining us here for this episode of the GH Report. As always, like us on Facebook, give us 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thank you, everybody, for hopping in the chat. But if you want to stay in touch with any of us, even after the show is over, James Lott Jr., I don't know if people are going to know where to find you.
What's funny, I just got a thing. My ink has arrived, so I'm glad. I can go home. My ink will be there. Hi. You can follow me where all James Lott Jr.'s are sold at James Lott Jr. and all social media platforms.
You can find me, your girl, Carla Renata, at The Curvy Critic, all across every social media platform and over at Black Hollywood Live right before the GH Report with my own show, The Curvy Critic with Carla Renata. It's film reviews. If you want to see what to watch, check out your girl.
Nice.
Do it.
What kind of ink you getting? You getting getting some
from black? my Canon printer.
Is it going to be? Is it black? Is it magenta?
Black
is it,
and all colors. It's 250 and 251.
I cannot believe just y'all have a conversation.
Hot printer talk. Really? Hot toner and printer talk.
Told
folks.
Us to wrap 10 minutes ago. And y'all come out.
That's why people watch the show for printer stuff. Folks, follow me on Twitter, Instagram at Happy Go Jackie. That's going to do it for this episode of the JH Report. Once again, James Lott Jr., everybody.
Oh,
we'll see you back here next week with an all new episode right here on AfterBuzz TV.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.